So a few weeks ago, Brother Nick stood before us, Nick Hall, and he talked to us, I believe it was on a Wednesday night invitation talk about Christ, and got me thinking, and we'll find out a little bit more about why I'm thinking about this next week as well. But that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the great price that was paid for us, for you and for me. And my hope is, as we evaluate a topic like this, that will help our dedication and our commitment to fulfill what Brother Greg prayed about, and that's living the life that God has called us to live, that we might be able to influence those that see us in action to wonder why we are the way that we are. And it's appreciate Brother Ryan this evening as well, leading all the songs. It goes prayer and songs and all of it's going to all fit together very nicely this evening. You will take your Bibles and open up to Ephesians chapter 1. That's where we're going to start this evening. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to talk about the price that Christ paid. We spend a lot of money on a lot of different things on this side of eternity, don't we? Any of you that have gone and looked for a car, you look for the best deal that you can possibly get. And when you receive that first bill, it then hits you. Boy, I spent a lot of money on this car. It's the same thing when we purchase a house. We look around. If you're like me and Heather, when we moved to Greenwood, we looked at about 20 different houses before we finally found one that we really liked and said, this could really work for us. But then you receive the first bill. You're like, what in the world was I thinking? We spent a lot of money on a lot of different things. We understand a price paid. And we also understand, maybe not at the time, but as payment becomes due, the great price that has to be paid as well. There are sacrifices that need to be made. Some of us, when we make big purchases, we say, okay, well, if we make this big purchase, we've got to sacrifice over here. Some of these other things have to be laid aside. The wonderful thing about our God and the wonderful thing about the price that was paid for our redemption, we're going to talk about redemption. There's another word that we can add to the list of words that we're going to talk about tonight that's going to keep coming up, this idea of redemption, is because of the price that Christ did pay. And we don't need to renew a payment. We don't have to maybe move things around and adjust things in our life in order for this payment to be made. It's been made. Christ was that perfect sacrifice for us that we might be able to have redemption. And so I want to start with that thought. What was the price of our redemption? Let's look and study together with a couple of verses tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it simply says this. Actually, let's back up. I wasn't going to do this, but I really do. I want to begin in verse 3 because it really sets the tone for verse 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place in Christ. Again, this word Christ. And Jesus is going to come up frequently in the lesson tonight as well. Just as he chose him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And then verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now right from the very start, very elementary principle that probably all of us understand is found in verse 7. Redemption, yes, but the price of redemption was the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to center in on that thought for just a second. We're going to, a few minutes from now, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're going to talk about his death again. I'm not going to try to squeeze. I believe Brother Art's going to lead us around the table. Is that right, Brother Art? I'm not going to try to squeeze your thoughts out here, but I do want to make a couple of points that I believe fit in very well with what Brother Art will talk about and the theme for tonight. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at verses Verse 17 beginning. I'd like to back up further, but we'll begin in verse 17. We're going to really focus our attention in on verse 18 and verse 19. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. That's interesting to me. Fear, respect, understanding who God is and where we stand in comparison with God. And understanding that each one's going to be held accountable. He's going to judge you just like he'll judge me in that last day. Verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your father, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, we purchase a lot of things. We talked about the things that we purchased just a moment ago. We purchase a house. We have to have some collateral. We have to have a down payment. Same thing is needed when we purchase a car. There are things that are needed. Whatever we buy on this side of eternity, there's corruption to it. We use monetary gain and paper bills or whatever we use, maybe a check. That will degrade. It will fall apart. We think about all the things of this earth. It all falls apart. But when we talk about the price for redemption, only that which is incorruptible could purchase redemption. And I like this verse because it says a lot to us who understand a little bit about Christ. His blood was and is precious. There are a lot of precious things. Sometimes when we look at children, we might say, oh, isn't that precious? Something that they say, something that someone has given to us. We might use the term precious, but what does that mean? It means it's very valuable, right? There have been a lot of people that have died and shed their blood for a whole host of causes. We've got people that fight for our freedom and they shed their blood. And they're shedding their blood for people that they don't know, that we might have the freedoms that we have and enjoy. But all of that blood pales in comparison with the blood that we're talking about here. Because this blood here, is God's blood. God sent His Son to this earth to die for us. And so Jesus, His name is above all other names. And so when we talk about the sacrifice that was made for us, this verse teaches us a lot about this. His blood is precious. And I'll tell you, I think some of us as Christians, we forget that as we live our lives sometimes, don't we? We have our selfish desires and our wants, and we do those without any thought of the cost of it. I stop and think for just a second. The high price that was paid for my redemption is only good for me to realize that with that price that was paid by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that it merits quite a bit of effort on my part in my service to my God. What have we been redeemed from? We know that Jesus paid this great price. But what were we redeemed from? I want to focus on that probably throughout the remainder of this lesson. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, this is maybe not a verse that we might turn to in thinking about this, at least initially. When we think about Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we think about it, it's the text referring to elders. And how they are to shepherd the flock, and for good reason. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God. We talk about the great importance that elders have, and our elders here do have a great responsibility in that, in shepherding us, the flock here at Greenwood. But what makes the church so precious? Catch a lot of part of that? Shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. You know, I sell pen blanks. And for most of you, I've mentioned this before, most of you probably seen them if you come over to my house and several of you referred, well, what is that? Jokingly, like, shouldn't you throw that away or burn it? But one person won't pay anything for it, but the next person will pay a hefty price for it because they understand how precious that piece of wood truly is. I wonder where we would be at as God's people if not only we understood, but we practiced what we understood when it came to our redemption. And the church, you know, I wonder if we truly understood the price that was paid and how He purchased the church with His blood. If we truly understood that, if we would act and treat each other maybe a little bit differently, because we understand the price that was paid. We've been redeemed from sin. We've been redeemed from the world. We've been purchased. We've been bought from the world. In Matthew chapter 20, continuing this line of thinking of how precious, the precious price that was paid for our redemption. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, a lot of verses that we're going to look at tonight. In verse 26, it says this, "Yet it shall not be so among you," Matthew chapter 20, verse 26, "but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." Great lesson in that too. But verse 27, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." Verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." I tell you, there's a lot of verses that talk about this old world that we live in and the corruption that lies in, a perverted and crooked generation that we live in. Really, we don't need scriptures to see how awful and crooked this world is, do we? We can turn on the news, we can look around, we can even open our eyes at our job places. We begin to realize how awful and crooked mankind can be towards each other. But a verse like this gives us hope. Because although we live in this world, we don't have to be of this world. But we do have to serve. And when we think about this high price that was paid, and how we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, He did so that we serve Him and serve each other. I like how the latter part of this verse goes. Verse 28 and latter part of it. "But to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." God, Jesus, gave His life so that we could live. And so when we stop and we think about and we contemplate this idea about the church and our redemption, we need to understand the price that was paid and the divine justice that God demonstrated to us. I want to talk for just a few moments as we close this lesson out. It's going to be a record tonight. I want us to talk and think about something that we don't often talk and think about, and that's the sufferings of Christ and how they were complete on the cross. I want to talk about three aspects of suffering that Christ experienced. One, how He suffered in the spirit. Two, how He suffered in the soul. And three, how He suffered in the body. And I hope as we contemplate a couple of verses here very quickly and talk about these thoughts, that it will help us appreciate not only what we're about to do in a few moments from now when Brother Art leads the congregation here in the Lord's Supper, but as we depart from here and we go on with our lives and we're at our workplaces and other different things, that a thought like this, verses like this, will cause us to stop and think about how we're carrying ourselves and how we're interacting with others. So turn with me over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, as we contemplate again the high price that was paid for our redemption, and as we contemplate the sufferings that Christ went through. I think when we talk and we mention suffering, we often just automatically go to the cross, and for good reason. The cross was designed in such a way to be cruel. It was a cruel form of punishment and execution.
An individual would hang on the cross for several hours and basically suffocate to death. All the while people watching as an individual would go through this awful death that he would go through. What's different of the majority of the ones that were put to death on the cross compared to Christ is Christ was innocent. He was innocent. But what we often fail to note is that he suffered in his spirit. Remember we talked about spirit, soul, and body this morning? Remember what we said about those three aspects? When we speak about the spirit, we're speaking about the spiritual world. The one that communes with God. There was an effect on Christ when it came to that thought. When we think about the souls, we'll talk about in just a second. It's speaking about the intellect or the emotional world. We know that Christ suffered with that. And lastly, in the body, as we often talk about and think about when we partake of the Lord's Supper, the physical world, the physical body. Christ suffered in all three ways. Mark chapter 8 and verse 12. Let's talk about this for just a moment this evening. But he sighed deeply in the spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." Now again, we're just going to look at just a couple of verses for each point. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but I want you to keep in mind this idea of the spiritual world, the one that communes with God. When we look at these three verses, all three of these verses speak about him suffering in the spirit. Now remember, this is God manifested in the flesh. We know this because of what John teaches us in John chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. The Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. But he didn't cease being God. Just recently, Brother Ryan Provines and Grant and myself, we talked to the young people about the humanity of Jesus. It was an interesting class. Mitchell had some interesting questions for us, and we talked a little bit about that. But Jesus, who was God manifest in the flesh, Jesus didn't cease being God when he took on the form of humanity or flesh. He suffered. And in this verse, it teaches us that he sighed deeply in his spirit. There's another verse that teaches us about this concept of Jesus and the suffering that Jesus experienced in his spirit. John chapter 11. If you've not done a study on these three aspects, you really need to. There's a lot that's recorded for us in Scripture on these principles and these thoughts. In John chapter 11 and verse 33, it says this: "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit." And then it says this about Jesus. We don't like to look at this side of Jesus. And it says here, he was troubled. He's troubled. He saw people weeping, and he groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled. Let me ask you a question. When do you think the suffering of Christ began? One might say, well, we're looking at this, I guess, here maybe. No. The suffering of Christ began when he left the side of the Father to come to this earth. And one might even say, God knowing all things, maybe he even experienced before the worlds were created. Jesus was there in the beginning, and we know the redemption factor that we experience today wasn't an afterthought because God failed. So maybe when all things, even before all things were created, the suffering began. Jesus knew that he was going to have to come to this earth. But we do have verses that teach us with surety that when it came to the spiritual weight upon him, it was heavy. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And in verse 21, it says this: "And when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, Most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." Listen, I'm telling you, the Scriptures teach us that Jesus suffered in his spirit. It wasn't just suffering in the body that he experienced. There was much more to that. When we talk about the three sides of man, when we talk about, as we mentioned this morning, when it comes to the spirit, the soul, and the body, Jesus experienced all that we would experience in each and every one of those aspects. We know that he suffered in the soul as well. John chapter 12 gives us a little bit of insight into that thought. John chapter 12 and verse 27. Again, we're speaking about the intellect or the emotional aspect of who Jesus was, the humanity of Jesus. In John chapter 12 and verse 27, it says this, "And my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour." We think about the garden. And I've often said this purposefully when I've led the Lord's Supper. I like to talk about the garden when talking about the Lord's Supper. Because it's there in the garden that we see the pressure, the weight get to the fleshly side of Jesus. His sweat became as blood. How many of us have experienced that or seen that with our own eyes? We haven't, have we? Maybe I'm judging wrong. Maybe you have seen that happen. I know I haven't. And anybody that I know has never seen that happen. And there's been a lot of stressful, hard situations that individuals have been through. This is a proven fact. Medically, this does and can happen, but it's rare. In order for this to happen, the weight would have to be so large for the vessels to burst and mix with the sweat so that blood would flow from it. But you know what? That's an indication of the suffering that our Savior went through. My soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. There are other verses that indicate this same principle and same thought. In Matthew chapter 26, let's turn over there just very quickly. Matthew 26 and verse 38, it says this, "And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Again, another verse pulling back another layer of the garden for us. Isaiah 53, as we read this morning, paints very adequately the emotional, the intellectual suffering that our Savior went through in order that we might be redeemed from our sins. Lastly, this evening, Psalm 22. I want to spend just a couple of moments thinking and talking about this. Psalm 22. Psalm 22, and let's begin. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but let's begin in verse 14. If you've not spent any time studying the book of Psalm, in particular chapter 22, you really need to do that. Great, great insight into here. Any of you guys that lead the Lord's Supper, great chapter to look into when leading us and leading our minds in the crucifixion and suffering of Christ. Verse 14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me." Do you get the visual picture here? Can I stop and just read that again? As we're reading these verses, I want you to think about the imagery that is painted in these verses for us. When we think about what Christ went through, I want us to look far above just the cross. There is much more suffering that went on with our Savior. And the words that are used here are used in such a way to picture a body that is broken down. A body that is suffering immensely. Let's start again and challenge yourself to picture, visually picture what we're reading. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death. Now just contemplate and think for just a moment what our Savior went through. When we think about the body and what the body went through, it was immense. We'll talk a little bit more about the body and what Christ went through on the cross in later lessons. But we get a visual picture here of what it was like, what he experienced on that brutal day. Now, let me ask you a question as we begin to wind the lesson down tonight. Do you count the blood of Jesus Christ as something that's common or something that's precious? And if we count the blood of Jesus Christ as something that is precious, let us not only understand it, but let's live it accordingly to what we understand and believe about this blood. Redemption is the most wonderful theme that we can find in all eternity. We don't deserve it. Especially when we understand the three-sided sufferings that Christ went through, we do not and did not deserve that. But because of His grace and His mercy, He did what He did and continues to do what He does in our lives when we humbly come to Him. When we think about suffering, I want to change the tone as we close this lesson up. When we think about suffering, and I know you're getting a mental picture, maybe you're thinking about what we're talking about and all the things that Christ went through and how it had an effect on him emotionally, both spiritually and physically. Maybe you're good and that's where you're at right now, but maybe you're thinking about the sufferings that you have gone through in your life. When we experience a day in heaven, if we've been faithful throughout our life on this side of eternity, I'll tell you what you won't be concerned with. And that's with what you suffered on this side of eternity. Because the things of this earth are not worthy to be compared to the glories of heaven. Our sufferings won't even be a memory anymore. And I think it's interesting that in all the things that God created, the only thing that He provided redemption for was you and me, mankind. And so I hope that as we leave the building tonight, that you're caused to think about not just tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, but throughout your whole life, as Brother Nick opened for us just a couple of weeks ago, that the time to think about the sufferings of Christ and what He did for us is not just on Sunday, but each and every day that we live on this side of eternity. The lesson's yours. I hope it will challenge you to greater depths in your service to God and your understanding about what Christ has done for you. And my hope and desire is that it's caused you to think about your own life tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. Why not become a child of God tonight? Maybe as we've talked about tonight and looked at some scriptures, you realize what has been done for you in order that you might have the opportunity to get your life right with Him. And you realize that tonight is the night that I need to make my life right with Him. But you might be asking yourself, what do I need to do? What you don't need to do is come forward and confess every sin that you've committed in your life. We're not going to ask that of you tonight because that would be more than what the Lord has asked. What we will ask you to do is confess the name of Jesus Christ as God's only begotten Son. And if you're willing to make that confession and turn from the life that you are living and have lived up till this point, then we will baptize you that you might have your sins washed clean and free from you. That you might rise up out of that water A new child of God, free and clean from every sin that you've ever committed. We hope that you'll do that tonight. And if you're here and you're a Christian, you've not been living faithful towards God, maybe you've counted the blood of Jesus as something that's common, And you've forgotten the value of the blood that was shed for you in order for you to sit in the seats tonight and sing glory be to God and have your head bowed and communing with God. Maybe you are the individual that needs to get your life, your mind right with your God. I'll tell you what you can do tonight. By the grace of God, you can ask for forgiveness, and our loving Father will welcome us back home. Back in that right relationship with Him. But you got to come. You got to be humble enough to confess your shortcomings. We hope and pray that if you've fallen short, that you'll take care of that tonight. If you're doing what you need to do, keep doing it. Don't give up. Value the sacrifice that was made for you and live in the footprints of Jesus each and every day of your life and keep soaring like He designed us to do. If there's anything that we can do to help you get your life right with God, won't you come to the front while we stand, while we sing?